Hello. Before we get started, just a quick ask. If you are enjoying this podcast, please go over to iTunes and leave a rating and a review. Subscribe. If you're on Spotify, if you could follow, or if you're just out on Twitter or in the street, just tell a friend, tell someone you know that you think would like it. It'll just really help other people be able to find the podcast. Thank you. Welcome back to another episode of They're Soulmates, a Ted Lasso podcast. My name is Tori.
And I'm Kevin.
And we are here to take a deep dive into the characters of Ted Lasso and Rebecca Welton, how they are connected, why they are soulmates, and even though Rebecca's getting banged by a hot 21-year-old at the end of this episode, why I still think that they will end up together.
All right. we are dedicated.
We are, yeah. We can't stop now.
No, so, I know. I'm just.
We got a few reviews lately on iTunes. The good thing is that more people are listening to this podcast.
Okay.
But with that,
what's the bad thing?
When you have a very small audience, they tend to all like you. When you have a larger audience, you will then have more people who don't like you. But that's fine. I mean, there are going to be people who don't like us.
Haters gonna hate.
I think sometimes we'll get a bad review just because people don't really ship Ted and Rebecca. Whatever, move along. But we did get a pretty funny one-star review that said that they tried to listen to us, but there's a tenseness between the hosts.
Well, a tenseness.
We've been married for 17 years. You better believe there's a tenseness here.
Oh, well, yeah, that was going to go the other way.
No, I was just thinking we probably were arguing about something dumb or the kids pissed us off right before we started recording.
Well, and I wonder what they listened to. Did they start from the beginning
or
did
they?
I
don't know.
Did they?
I just thought that one was funny.
Yeah.
Sometimes
there is.
We have gotten quite a few.
Not on the podcast.
What?
Sometimes there's tenseness between us. It's just not on the podcast.
Right.
At least I thought it wasn't.
We got there have been several really sweet reviews, so it's so great to read those. And then there was one that said, you know, they're not really focusing on how they're soulmates, and I feel that that's valid, but I think we're gonna get there in this next episode. I kind of feel like it's not until you
well
hit,
I think we were yeah I mean I, yeah. I don't I mean, know I mean
we are piecing together their parallels and their connections. But it isn't until the next episode where I feel like the show really hits you over the head with, like, these two people are connected.
Yeah, I mean, there's been subtle things all along, but...
In some, if you believe in, like, cosmic soulmates or whatever, they're trying to put a point across that these two people are connected. But yeah, that really, I think, is... We'll get into that more in the next episode. But... Man City, this episode, I feel, is when shit really starts getting real.
Oh, yeah.
So the title of this episode is Man City. It was released on September 10th, 2021, written by Jamie Lee and directed by Matt Lipsky, who did the last episode. I noticed that there are pairs of directors, so that must be a way that they, hire the director and they do two episodes at a time.
And knock two out, yeah. And then, yeah, maybe. That's interesting.
And for this summary, I just put that Ted and Sharon bond, and we finally learn what happened to Ted's dad. Rebecca realizes that her banter date is both less and more than what she expected.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff happens in this episode, but we're not going to cover all of it because it kind of doesn't make sense for the podcast. But when we get to certain things where other people are involved with Ted and Rebecca, then I'll kind of recap what's going on. And we do need to cover some of the father and son stuff because that really is overarching. So the first scene we're going to start with in this episode, though, is one of my favorite Rebecca and Keely scenes ever. So Rebecca and Keely are in Rebecca's office, and it's cute how they're kind of sitting next to each other.
Right.
Like
mother-daughter.
Oh, that's so mean to Rebecca.
Well, not a mean age, and a mean
because she looks so little.
Yeah, she's how little, cuddling up to her or something.
But you know that this is Keely's doing. Rebecca's never going to be the one that's going to be come sit next to me. I know. But she's going to take it from Keely because she secretly probably enjoys being close to someone like that, but is never going to be the one to put herself out there. And in the same way, we're like, so Keely says, I have never figured out what I like to say when I need to go take a shit. What do you use? And the look. I love the look on Rebecca's face. But then she answers it honestly.
Right.
Like, she's not unwilling to talk about that kind of stuff, but Rebecca's never going to be the one to bring it up.
Right.
And that's probably why she gravitates kind of towards these, like, Keely and sassy types, because they're going to keep her outside of her comfort zone. So Rebecca says, I need to reapply my lip liner because women understand that that takes time and focus, and men don't know what you're talking about.
That's funny. Yeah. But they know it's, you know, men know it's something. Whatever. They're not going to question it.
Right. No. But I would be screwed, though, because I've never worn lip liner in my life. I wouldn't have any excuse to use. I'd have to come up with something different. So as they're sitting there, her phone dings because Rebecca's not working. She's kind of writing notes in a book
and sitting then on also the couch.
Staring at her phone.
Lounging.
Which has been Rebecca for most of this season. And she gets a message on Banter from who we know is Sam. And he says that he's going to be at this restaurant that night at 8 and that she should be there also. So she shows Keely and Keely's like, just say yes, say yes. So they show Sam kind of watching her little three little dots come in and out of the bubble. And I like that he calls the guys over to come see when he sees the three dots, but I would have waited to see what the answer was.
He could have been
really embarrassed when she was like, no. Nah.
Yeah, but they've been kind of following him on this journey. And I think it's kind of neat that they're all like excited for him.
Yeah, you know? It is super
cute. Like they're all in it together in a way. I mean, it's more of a team thing, you know what I mean? To be supportive of each other and...
Yeah, I mean, these guys are definitely closer than they were at the beginning of season one, for sure. So Rebecca said yes, so now she's going to go meet her banter date for the first time. Now, the first time we see Ted in this episode, he is in the hospital. And we get a little spiel from Ted about how American medicine sucks and health insurance sucks compared to the UK.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
He says, you mean to tell me I could break every bone in my body and someone could just drop me in a trash can?
He says any old hospital. And then he says, why the trash can? Like, what does it matter what your job's on?
Which technically they would treat you in the US. Just funny. But then you're going to get a huge bill. And here they will treat you and then you will not get a bill.
Crazy.
So the reason why Ted is at the hospital is because at the beginning of the episode, we saw Dr. Sharon get on her bicycle to ride to work, and she was hit by a car.
Her awesome little bicycle.
Yes. We learned a few things about Dr. Sharon in that little sequence there. One, so we know that Ted is now in therapy with her voluntarily, but it's still not going well.
Right.
But her therapist pointed out that she may be more like Ted than she's willing to admit. Also has a lot of walls up. Then we saw her on her bike, and I love Dr. Sharon, but she was kind of mean to a few people on the way.
I know. It must be something to that, but
yeah,
we don't ever find out, I guess.
She's a little prickly, I think we're noticing. Like, she tells some guy to mind his dog, and then she's like, he doesn't like that sweater. Or nobody cares what you think. I mean, okay, dog shouldn't be pooping without it being picked up. But nobody cares what you think about the dog's sweater.
And our dog happens to like his sweater.
Yes, our dog.
I know you probably are thinking, oh, these people are delusional. But when it's cold and we have grabbed the sweater, he runs over and gets in a sitting position.
He gets very excited.
And waits for us to put it on.
So that is a good point. Dr. Sharon does not know whether or not
that dog actually likes his sweater.
And then she tragically gets hit by a car. And when this happened, I was like, oh, crap, this went dark because they show like blood pooling onto the sidewalk. But she's okay. I think they just made it look a little more dramatic than it really was.
Right.
So somehow he must have been in her emergency contacts, or it's because she was leaving him a bunch of voice messages that Ted has volunteered to pick up Dr. Sharon at the hospital. So he's in the middle of talking to the nurse in the area there about, did you know that Winnie the Pooh was based on a real bear from the London Zoo? And that's when they wheel Dr. Sharon into the room. And she just says, fuck me.
Yeah. Because there's Ted.
Yes. This is the last person that she wants to pick her up from the hospital. So he sees her being wheeled in a wheelchair and he's like, oh no. But then she stands up because she's perfectly fine. And he's like, it's a miracle. And he's dancing around and he's super excited that she's standing. So he's just being Ted for everyone. And everyone else kind of thinks he's amusing except for Sharon.
Yeah, because they're not around it all day.
Yeah. So he says to the doctor, like, oh, there was some speculation that this could be Roy's sister because she's working in a trauma center. And then like later Roy talks about his sister being a trauma surgeon.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but I don't think so.
Yeah, might be a reach.
Yeah, I feel like she would know who Ted Lasso is and would have introduced herself as Roy's sister. That's a good point. Yeah. But yeah, and she doesn't look anything like Phoebe. Like Phoebe has blonde hair and blue eyes, and this lady has brown hair and brown eyes, which I guess you could have a blonde hair, blue-eyed child based on what the father looked like, but I feel like they probably would have made her look a little bit more like Phoebe. Anyway, so she's just going through all the things, you know, her scan's fine. There's no major damage. And Ted's rattling off all this stuff about brain injuries. And she's like, you know a lot about brain injuries. And he says it's because he's watched a lot of Grey's Anatomy and because he coaches the American football. And he's like, you know, the one with all the hullabaloo about concussions and kneeling.
Kneeling.
I love it. Again.
I know. I love you throws that in there.
Yes. So then the doctor mistakes Ted for being Sharon's husband. And she's like, okay, well, you know, you can take your wife home. And she's like, oh, no, no, he is not my husband. And he's like, oh, yeah, no, 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 no rings on this finger. And he's like, we're just friends. And she's like, we're colleagues. And he's like, we're friendly colleagues.
Friendly colleagues.
He's got a little Michael Scott in him here.
I know. This whole scene, yeah, all of it, has got a Michael Scott feel to it. I thought that.
Yeah, the difference is Michael Scott would have tried to make this more about himself. Where Ted is not that type, but
that's true.
That like overcompensating, wanting to make sure that everybody knows that they're friends and that, you know, they get along and all that kind of stuff in putting on a little show. But yeah, not like Michael Scott would have been trying to get himself admitted to the hospital if he was here.
Right. Or yeah, he would have found a way to talk about something that's bothering him or hurt on him.
Right. So she explains, the doctor explains, like, oh, no, no, you can't go home by yourself. Like, someone needs to be monitoring you. So he decides, Ted kind of volunteers to do that. And then he's being all sweet with her. He's like, come on, sweetie, helping her put her jacket on. Now, there are some people that want to see Ted and Dr. Sharon together, which I don't really see that as a love match. I mean, first of all, it's highly inappropriate for a therapist to ever become involved with one of their patients. But I don't really see them in that kind of light, but who knows? Maybe I'm not. I mean, I could see that sparking because the two actors probably have good chemistry together.
Right.
Because they do and because they're both adorable. But I don't really see Dr. Sharon and Ted ever becoming a thing.
No, I don't either.
Ted does escort Dr. Sharon home. And as they're it's cute he's holding her bicycle too. Because her bicycle normally like transforms and folds down.
Yeah, but I don't think it does anymore.
It's pretty all smashed up. Yeah, they should have just thrown that in the dumpster at the hospital on the way out. But he's carrying it on his shoulder. And he's telling her a story that she doesn't want to hear about some guy when he was a kid that made him eat a Vaseline sandwich. And she just wishes that she could like just teleport to her apartment and get out of this situation. He's also letting her know that while she was in the hospital, she left him several voice notes. So she didn't call him, but she like texted him those little voice notes.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And normally, once you listen to them, they delete. But he kept them.
Of course he did.
He saved all of them. And she's...
And now he's going to take pleasure in playing them all back.
Absolutely. And one of them is like, if you want to call me with some bullshit and not really talk about your feelings, I'll be here. And then she's like, I didn't mean that. And he's like, oh, I'm sure you meant that a little bit. Then he's like, oh, hang on. Now you're singing a song. What song was it? West Side Story. He's like, and you're doing both parts. And he starts playing that for her. And I just love the fact that that actress really had to record that into a voice message so that they could play it on the show.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Ted and Sharon arrive at her apartment. She wants him out of there ASAP. And she's like, okay, I got it from here. And he's like, yeah, you've said that like 5 times on the way home.
So maybe she really meant it.
Yeah. And you just kept walking, Ted. So he sets her bike down and then he kind of starts looking around. And we learn a little bit more about Dr. Sharon here. So he quickly notices that she has quite a few wine bottles and alcohol
bottles. Liquor bottles, yeah.
Out on her counter. This is also similar to Ted. There's an empty wine glass sitting like where the TV is. She's a little embarrassed and trying to quickly like clean all of that stuff up. He even walks over and is like nosing around at the books that are on her table. And one of them says how to go from misery to meaning in middle life.
Right.
Now, she could be reading that for work,
right?
Also.
That's a good point.
But I do feel that we're supposed to get the idea that he is realizing there's more to Dr. Sharon than he thinks. And Dr. Sharon is noticing him notice this, and it's making her very uncomfortable. She does not like anyone getting close to her just as much as he doesn't like people getting close to him, but in different ways. Like, Ted wants to be... he wants to be close, and he wants to be in your life, and he wants to make you happy, but he doesn't...
Right, he doesn't want any of that.
Yeah. In the reverse side. And Dr. Sharon just kind of wants to keep everyone at arm's length because, and probably for a lot of the same reasons, it's probably abandonment or, you know, being worried about being hurt, but they just kind of, it manifests in different ways for them. So she offers him a glass of water and he drinks the entire thing.
Yeah, and it's like this awkward moment of him sucking down the water.
I wonder how many takes they did, because Jason Sudeikis would have had to drink that entire glass of water
every single time
they did the take.
And I love that she's still wearing the jacket that she had the accident in.
It's all dirty. Yeah, road rash all over the one arm. Yeah. So finally he leaves. He takes the hint and finally gets out of her apartment. So now it is nighttime and we see Rebecca inside her car outside of the restaurant where she's supposed to meet her banter date, and she's still sitting in there. It's a little after 8 and the phone rings and it's Keely.
Keely with a face. What is that?
Like a face mask on, face I guess. Mask. And she answers the FaceTime and she's like, oh my God. And then Keely's like, what are you still doing in the car? Get in there. And Rebecca's like, no, I can't go in there. Like, she's all nervous to really... I'd be nervous, too. I mean...
You don't know what you're walking into.
You don't. And I know that Sam is not what she was expecting, but Sam is still best case scenario with what she could have met.
Like, right. I mean, this app is like no photos, no anything.
Right.
And you're just going based on what the other person's basically saying about themselves,
right,
or whatever. So you don't know what you're walking into.
It could have been... someone that she really would have had no interest in
at right.
whatsoever. And then she shows up on his side. He's like, wow. So she finally gets out of the car and Keely's so sweet. She's like, you look beautiful. Just go in there and go meet him. And you know, if it's terrible, then you can just yell at me for the rest of your life. And if it's not, then it's a great thing. So she walks in and as she gets to the bar, she notices that Sam is standing there and he notices that she's walked in and he's like, oh, Miss Welton. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, Rebecca. And she's like, oh, this is a coincidence.
Yeah.
How funny. And he's like, oh, and he looks a little bit like he can tell that she's really nervous and glancing around. And he's like, what's wrong? So I almost kind of, when I first saw this, I thought that Sam realized that she was the date sooner.
So did I.
Because he's almost kind of like, oh, well, what's wrong? And then she's like, oh, I'm just here meeting someone. But then it seems as though he doesn't know. So he's like, oh, well, don't worry, you know, because you look stunning as always. So they kind of like go their separate ways. She texts Keely and tells Keely, Sam's here. This is awkward.
Yeah.
But she does notice that she likes his haircut. She notices that he got a haircut and calls it out, which I think is cute. Then she shows Sam. Keely says hi. She's like holding up the phone and tapping it.
Right. Like she says hi. How about that? Because it's like this awkward moment where they're both quote unquote waiting for someone.
And he's like, oh, okay, yeah, tell her I said hi too. So he writes to his banter date, I'm wearing a blue suit by the bar. And then he realizes that he hears the ding coming from behind him. So now they both kind of turn around at the same time.
And she reads it and is like, oh
God. Yes. Now, the other thing that made me uncomfortable about this part here was the way when he turns around, when he laughs,
yeah,
it almost sounds like he's laughing at her, which he didn't. I don't think he meant that at all.
No.
But like when he first laughs, it's almost like, because I think he's excited that it's her. Like, this isn't at all bad news for him. And she's immediately just like, shit.
Yeah.
And she's like, I knew it. I knew I shouldn't have come here. I knew this was a terrible idea. But he kind of tries to calm her down. And he's like, wait, like, why? And she's like, we cannot do this. I am your boss. And then she's like, wait a minute. How old are you? Like 24? And he says, I'm 21.
Yeah. It's like, oh God.
Yes. So if we are to believe that Rebecca is 46.
Right.
Here, then she is 25 years older than he is. That is a very large age gap.
It is.
Now, and then she says to him, 21, I'm a pedophile.
Pedophile.
And she's like, all of these messages, I've been grooming you. So I think, is that supposed to lead us to believe that they may have been talking about sex a bit? And there was stuff that they were talking about that we didn't see?
Because yeah, possibly.
It seems like their conversation was very limited and very surface level, but perhaps sure. They were talking about more stuff. Because she's basically saying, you know, I was grooming you. And he's like, you weren't grooming me, because he is an adult. Sam says, we didn't know who we were. Like, it's fine.
Right.
And she's like, no, because now we do know, and this is not happening. And she seems very certain about that. Like,
and then she's all like, this never happened, okay? And then she turns and walks right into a stool. That's so funny. And then she's like fixing her dress.
Poor
thing.
Turns
into a kind of a mess.
I know. She is just completely spiraling here. And I feel bad for her because she was so excited,
right?
Nervous. And then I feel like this is honestly worst case scenario for her because she feels stupid, I think, more than anything else. Like, she's thinking, you're 21, I'm 46. Like, this is completely, I'm your boss. This is right. Completely ridiculous. But he tries to stop her and he says, like, you know, well, maybe how about this isn't a date, but we're both here and we're both alone and we're hungry. And I love the way she delivers the line of,
I am quite hungry.
I am quite hungry. So they quickly go to a montage of Sam and Rebecca sitting and having dinner together. We don't at all hear what they're talking about, but we're getting the impression that they are having a very good time together. I think Hannah Waddingham was saying that, like, a lot of this was basically just her and Tahib Jamot, like, talking and being themselves.
No, that's cool.
Because they get along really well together.
And eating, yeah.
who doesn't want to eat? And on another podcast I was listening to that had Tahib on, they were saying, like, oh, is Sam not drinking because it's the night before a match? And Tahib said, no, Sam doesn't drink because he's Muslim. So I thought that was really interesting that he made that decision for his character. And he said that he also is Muslim, and he said that he does drink sometimes, but he tries not to, I guess, or he goes through periods where he doesn't for certain reasons. But so I also think that if we were supposed to get a little more attached to Sam and Rebecca, we maybe would have heard more about what they're talking about. So now we really didn't see much of what they were texting about. And now we just have this montage of them having a great time on a date, but we really don't know why they're having a great time. Like, what are they really connecting over?
Right.
So they go to Ted calling Sharon, and he has decided that he's going to check on her every 20 minutes, but to keep it fresh, he's going to have a different voice every time he calls. And this time he was Kermit the Frog.
And then he's going to call back a Sling Blade.
Yes. And it's so adorable. She does open up to him a little bit here. And she tells him, you know, I was really worried after today that I'd be scared to ride my bike again. Because she says that riding her bike is kind of her happy place. Mm. But she thinks that she, you know, hopefully will be able to again. And she, I think her opening up to him kind of makes him a little more comfortable with her.
Yeah, right. That's an excellent point.
And when she brings up the fact that she was scared she wouldn't be able to ride again, Ted says, I would say that fear is a lot like underwear. And she says, no, Ted, I'm not looking for a little witty.
Fear's not like underwear.
I don't need a pep talk. I just wanted to let you know that and to tell you how I was feeling. So what do you think his joke was going to be?
Fear's a lot like underwear. If you don't have it, you... I don't know.
I was thinking that it was like the more you know how like if you have a wedgie and the more you think about it, the more you think that that wedgie's going up your butt.
Yeah.
So it's like the more you think about it, the more it creeps up on you or something.
I guess that's pretty good.
So he gets off the phone with her. He's playing a Wizard of Oz pinball machine. Now, this is very symbolic, obviously, because of Kansas and Dorothy.
Right.
And
Wizard of Oz. Mm-hmm.
Then he says, okay, ACM, I don't know who you are, but I'm coming for you. And he starts playing the pinball machine. Are we going to find out who ACM is?
ACM, that is a good question.
Yeah, I don't know who it could be. But I am curious to see if we are going to find the reasoning for that.
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, I didn't even notice that watching the episode.
And it's interesting that that pinball machine is even there because they're in the UK and it's Wizard of Oz. But so I feel like there has to be some reason, and we'll have some sort of payoff and find out who ACM is. Now they show Rebecca and Sam walking home from their date. So he's walked her back to her house, and she's digging through her purse trying to find her keys. Because she has an enormous purse. And he's like, oh, you know, I commend you because usually women try to walk around with those little tiny handheld purses. And he's like, what are those? And she's like, a clutch. And she's like, no, no, I'd rather dig for dinosaur bones in my enormous bag than do that. And then he mentioned something about being on a date. And she's like, and this was not a date. And then if you notice, you notice that Rebecca kind of looks around to see if anyone's looking at
them? I just noticed that.
Yes. I have a feeling that that might come back to us as well. But she does kind of glance around to see if anyone is watching them. And she says, you know, this was not a date. And he kind of moves in. Like, this is the guy who couldn't even call her Rebecca like two episodes ago. And now he's feeling pretty good about this.
Yeah.
Because he liked what he saw, and he doesn't seem to have any problem with the 25-year age gap between them or the fact that she's technically his boss, which...
Right.
Personally, I don't have as much of a problem with the Sam and Rebecca storyline as some people do. Obviously, this is not who she's looking for. But Rebecca is a mess, and I don't think I realized how much of a mess until we kind of like got to these last few episodes of the season.
And dissected them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think she just wants a connection with someone so badly, and it feels like she felt a connection with him, and he is definitely someone different than who she normally goes after. The man that we've seen her date before this.
Right, and he's not a typical 21-year-old. He's a very mature.
I agree with that as well.
And you know what I mean, together.
Yes. Yeah. But, and he is her employee, but it's not like he works at Best Buy and she's his boss. Like, he is a multi-million-dollar
look what just happened at CNN
player.
With the...
Yeah, that is true.
You know what I mean? He was like the head of the place and he didn't disclose the relationship.
If he would have disclosed the relationship, though, then I think it would have been okay. But he was married and it was a whole other situation.
Okay, so forget what I said.
But we do see men in this position all the time.
Right.
And another reason why I think it's going to be interesting if anyone was photographing them here is how differently Rebecca will be treated if this were to come out as opposed to Rupert.
True.
Because they've been seeing Rupert with these young women for years, and she still gets the shit end of the stick in the tabloids.
Right, and she will hear too.
All right, exactly. But Sam is, you know, a million-dollar footballer who is he's holding a lot of the cards here because he is very valuable to the team as much as, like, she needs him as much as he needs her as far as this job. So I don't feel like there's that much of, like, a power balance, but the age difference is just ridiculous for them to have any kind of like long lasting. Anyway, when I first watched this, I did not think that they were going to go in this direction at all. I really thought Rebecca was going to be like, well, crap, how about I just don't date for a while because I'm not having a really good time.
No, I agree with you. I didn't think they were going to take it in the direction they did.
Yeah. So she tells him, I'm going in alone. And he's like, okay. And he kind of backs up a bit. Then she goes in for a kiss. And you can tell it was just kind of like this, I'm just going to kind of see real quick.
And test the waters here.
Which I think for me, I was kind of like, oh man, I always kind of thought that like if Rebecca was going to do that, that would kind of be something that she did with Ted. Like, hang on a minute. Is there something here?
Yeah.
And so it was weird that it was used in this situation, but I feel like it's a little different because she knows that she's attracted to him. I think she just went for it because she was feeling vulnerable in the moment. And then she screams. And I think that is the reaction that a lot of people had watching this. Like, no, 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 this is not the right one. But she, like, is sort of like, no, no, this can never happen again. I have to mean it. I do mean it. And she goes inside alone, like she said she would. But you can tell by the look on her face as she shuts the door that she's really conflicted. Like, she likes him. And there's really, as much as she wants to not like him, she does.
Yeah, yeah, that's there.
Now, it's the day of the match. They're playing the FA Cup at Wembley Stadium. They really got to go there for this one part where they show them kind of walk out onto the field. Pitch, whatever.
Pitch, yeah, pitch.
But they were told that if they stepped foot over the line, they were going to kick all of them out.
And you know, and like, and it looks like where they come out, they put, they lay down artificial grass.
They probably did.
On top.
It seems like.
Because it doesn't look like the same grass.
Yes.
It's crazy.
They probably did because it seems like they are very protective. There's only, the only place that'll let them use their pitch is the one place that they use for Nelson Road, which I can't remember what stadium it's called. Mm-hmm. But that's the only place that'll actually let them step on the grass.
Wow.
So before the game, the guys are getting ready, and Ted is kind of doing some deep breathing exercises. And Beard and Nate both notice. And he's like, oh, it's just something that Dr. Sharon taught me, you know, to try to calm myself down before a game.
A little breathing exercises.
Yes. And Nate says, oh, I hope it's not stomach problems again. And he's like, no.
And then Roy asked him if he's like, you didn't eat the, what was that? The
prawns?
Prawn cocktail. Oh, God. Just that idea of that sounds terrible.
Well, I know. What was the last one? Fish pie?
Yeah.
Fish pie and prawn cocktail.
Prawn cocktail.
Stay away from all of that.
God.
Now, you know, I did not realize, but so now the guys kind of huddle together. Higgins comes in. It's Roy, Nate, Ted, Beard, Higgins. And they're going to do like, they all kind of put their hands in together.
Right.
This shot was used in the promo leading up to season 2 of Ted Lasso.
Oh, really?
Yes, but because they hadn't, it would have been a spoiler to show Roy there, they photoshopped Roy out.
So interesting.
So yeah, so in the clip that they show, it's them with their hands in, but there's no Roy. They photoshopped.
Was there like
him
a
out.
Little Roy hand in there? With
no, I don't. Oh. They did a good job. They got all of them out. So before they go out there, Ted says, listen, I got to tell you guys something. He said that, what was it, Topham Spur match?
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact name. But he says, you know, it wasn't food poisoning. I had a panic attack. And I've been having them quite a bit. And I've been seeing Dr. Sharon, and she's working me through it. And then they're like, okay. And then Higgins is like, no, no. I have to confess something as well. And he says that he messed up the time zones on a transfer deadline. And so that's why they didn't get that amazing fullback from Brazil. And they're all like, oh, okay. That was a pretty big deal. But they're like,
except
okay.
For Nate. It was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. They're like, okay, all right. Okay, all right. And yeah, all right. It's good. It's good. It's good. Then Beard says, or Roy goes next, and he says, I don't ever read the scouting reports that you guys send out. I don't think that they ever assumed that Roy was reading them.
Right.
Anyway.
So that's probably not a shock.
Then Beard says, there was one game this season where I was on mushrooms. And Roy remembers the exact game. He calls it out, and he's like, yeah, that was the one.
Yeah. Like, man, something is wrong with him today.
He accidentally, Port Vale match. He accidentally drank tea from the wrong teapot at Jane's house.
Like, what's going on at Jane's house?
Who knows?
That there's that hallucinogenic mushroom.
Yeah, she's got mushroom tea in one pot and then just Earl Grey in the other, and he drank the wrong one. And then Nate says, sometimes I pretend to have spontaneous ideas, but really, I've been thinking about them for a while. I just say them at the right time. So it was kind of a bullshit confession to begin with. The match is an absolute disaster.
Oh, yeah. Right out of the gate.
Yeah. From start to finish, they're not gelling well. Nate tells Mike Dean, is that his name, I think? He calls him a dickless wonder, so they get a penalty. And right. That is a real referee, I guess. And
then yeah, that's right. I remember you telling me that's cool.
And I love how Ted's like, I'm sorry, man. Everybody knows you have a penis.
Yeah, I know. He just like kind of tries to smooth it over.
So they lose the game. And Beard is quite... that's my other favorite part of this episode, is Beard is so mad. And Ted's like, oh, you know, it happens. And then he's like, yeah, it happens. And he turns around and completely falls over the little railing that's set up right there.
Just completely eats it.
And you hear, oh, God. And people just laughing in the crowd. So, yeah, it is a complete disaster. And everyone's pretty crestfallen at the end of this game. As Rebecca's walking through the press room afterwards, Sam kind of sees her and follows her, and she looks over, but she doesn't give any indication that she's noticing him, or, you know, she looks like she's pretty pissed off. Not that I think that she's mad at them for losing, but she's not showing any emotion.
That wasn't
there.
A good game.
No, not at all. So now in the locker room, which I think this is the real Wembley Stadium locker room, and it's gorgeous.
It really is.
It's just like beautiful the way like well it's designed. Lit
and yes. Set up all nice. And I wonder if that is like the actual guest locker room. Because usually in stadiums, I don't know how it is with soccer, but it, like in NFL stadiums here, the visitors isn't as nice.
Oh, interesting.
But maybe that's a thing in the past now.
Yeah, who knows? But
it didn't used to be.
Maybe the other side's even nicer than that.
Right.
Oh my gosh, our dog is such a jerk. Sorry. Okay, so they tell Jamie that there is a visitor there for him. And in walks his dad.
His drunk dad.
Yeah, his dad is drunk. He's been there with two of his friends. One of them is named Bug. He's wearing Jamie's jersey from when he was on Man City. Because
see,
that's who they played today.
And I thought about that. And yes, he probably did. And I was like, why would he wear that? But it also is his name. So
it is, yeah, true.
So it kind of works in both ways.
But his son's playing for the other side, and he was cheering for Man City this time. So he comes in, and first of all, the actor that they got to play his father, we looked up to see if this man
they
was
were
actually
really
related.
Yeah,
because he looks so similar to Phil Dunster.
Yeah, they did a good job.
And he is a fantastic actor. And you were saying that if this is real life, he would have had Jamie when he was 19.
Right. Based on their real life ages,
right.
Which makes sense.
It does make sense. I could totally see
this guy
having, you know, whatever, no shade about having children young, but I'm not at all surprised that Jamie Tart's dad was 19 when Jamie was born.
Right.
So he's just being a complete dick. He's totally drunk, and he pisses Jamie off to the point where Jamie punches him in the face. And Beard is actually the one that steps in and kind of starts to drag him out of the locker room and slams his head into the door, too. And he's like, oh, watch your head. And then just kind of slams him into it.
I know, that was funny.
So we see Ted. Everybody is watching this. Everyone is standing there. So, you know, we see Sam staring over. And Sam, we know, has a really good relationship with his father. We see Ted watching this, and we know that there is something going on with Ted's father that we don't really know what's happening.
Right.
We see Roy watching. We see Nate watching, and Nate also has a very difficult... So this whole father-son relationship is coming up strong here. Then the only one to make a move is Roy. This was such an emotional scene the very first time we watched it.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome.
And
they did a really good job.
At first, you don't even really know what Roy's going to do. And Jamie even kind of flinches. And then Roy goes in and just wraps his arms around Jamie and hugs him as tight as he possibly can. And everyone just sits and watches. Now, I think that this is another callback to A Wrinkle in Time. Because that is the book that Ted gave Roy to read. And spoiler for anyone who hasn't read A Wrinkle in Time for the ending here. But the little girl realizes that she is the only one who can save her brother. She thought her father was going to be able to save her brother, and he can't. They don't tell her how she can save him, but that she is the only one that can do it. So her brother has been like possessed by this evilness in the universe, and the only way she can save him is with love. So she has to tell him how much she loves him and just express all of her love for him. And then it saves him from the evil.
Oh.
So I do feel like that's why Roy is the one that goes to Jamie.
That makes sense.
And wraps his arms around him and just shows him some love. Because they have had a very complicated relationship. And, you know, now he's kind of acting like a big brother to him and kind of helping him here. We see Ted get teary-eyed and then just walk out wearing those badass Jordans again.
I know, those are nice.
Smoke gray. I think those were like $500.
Mm.
So we see Sharon sitting watching TV and she gets a phone call from Coach Lasso. She picks it up waiting to hear like Jack Tripper or Mr. Furley.
Some kind of crazy accent. Yeah,
someone. And she says, thank you for the new bicycle. So Ted bought her
one of those new bicycles.
Those bicycles are like $4,000. But we know that Ted is a millionaire. He just doesn't spend any of his money. He acts like he's poor, but he's really not. He lives in that little tiny dumpy flat when he could probably have a house by now. Because even if he's making on the low end of what a football manager is making, he's still making multi-million dollars. So anyway, that was very nice that he bought her that bicycle. So she says, thank you. And she doesn't really hear anything on the other end of the phone. And she's like, she says, I'm really sorry about the loss. And then he says, my father killed himself when I was 16 years old. So now we know how Ted's father died.
What's going on, right?
And I think I had an inkling that this was going to be the direction they were going in when we first watched this. But it's still like, you're coming off of that locker room scene. And then this one is, then this little second punch is so emotional. This is a really emotional episode.
Yeah, it's the old 1-2 punch.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, well, do you want to talk about it? And he says, no, not right now. I just wanted you to know. And he's like trying to get himself to stop crying because he knows he's going to have to go back in there any minute now. And Sharon says, you know, okay, well, just let me know if there's anything that you need. You can call me. And then she says goodnight. So he hangs up the phone and Beard does come out. And it's that dude thing where he's like trying to wipe the tears out of his eyes because he doesn't want Beard to know he was crying.
Right.
Because like Beard's probably thinking he's crying over the game.
Yeah.
Which, you know, which would be completely fine if he was, but he's not. And so he's like, all right, let's get out of here. And Beard's like, no, I gotta like shake this off. I'm not going. He's really pissed that they lost this game. And I think he's kind of at his wit's end with Ted sort of being absent, you know, not really knowing what's going on this season and not ever really knowing what's going on with football.
Right.
So he's decided he's going to go out for the night.
Which then leads to a very bizarre episode.
Yes. Beard After Hours, which I still, I need to watch, like separated from the rest of the season. I haven't rewatched it yet, but we're not going to cover that episode because
no, there's that
Ted's in it for like 2 seconds
and it does nothing for our podcast.
Right. No, it has nothing to do with Ted or Rebecca. Now Rebecca gets home looking gorgeous as always. That's how she went to a football match.
I know. Come on.
She's wearing a dress with like this with super high heels and a beautiful coat over. And she goes into her kitchen because
immediately.
That's the only place where she can watch TV.
You know what? The TV's there. The wine's there. I don't blame her.
It's everything she needs. Yeah. Those little bar stools right there. So she's pouring herself a drink and she's watching now Sam's press conference. And he's basically saying, you know, it was rough. It was a really bad loss. And he says he feels sorry that they let the fans down.
Mm-hmm.
But what's worse to him would be not to try at all. And he really feels like they gave it their best shot. And you see Rebecca kind of taking in this information. So she goes to her phone and at first she's going to go to their banter chat. But then she's like, no, I'm going to just go to his text message and communicate with Sam and not London 152
right,
on banter. So she just goes to her regular messages and types right to him and says, you know, I'm watching the press conference. Are you around? He responds immediately with giving her his address as to where he lives. And then Rebecca pounds that glass of wine that she's just poured for herself.
Which is great.
And goes running out the door. So now she's decided, after listening to his little soundbite there, that she would rather give this a shot than not to try at all. So as she gets to her front door, she opens it, and it's that total rom-com thing of like her opening her front door, and he's already standing there.
But like, why would he be there? Exactly. Was he just showing up? Yeah. He's creeping outside the door, waiting.
Was he in the bushes? Because it seriously was like 7 seconds.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Is he Superman? Like, that's going to be a whole storyline in season 3.
Is he Superman?
Where he just raced down the street, the speed of light. Man. We didn't see that. So she says, well, why did you give me your address? And he says, for next time. Sam has all the confidence in the world.
Apparently
now.
He is. Yes. Yeah, Rico Suave here. All the moves.
And she's standing there with her shoes in her hands. So when he comes in to kiss her, he's pretty much her height. I guess Tohib Jamo must be about 5'11", 6 feet.
Yeah.
So he goes in, starts kissing her, pushes her up against the wall, and then shuts the door. You know what I really wish... Okay, so I have a few more things to say about Sam and Rebecca before I stop here. But I wish they would have shown a part where he's like trying to pull her skirt up, because you know she has 4 layers of Spanx on underneath that dress. She's right. A 46-year-old woman, and he's probably used to not being...
I guess so.
I mean, wish they would have been a little realistic where she's like, hang on, I'm going to go change. Right. Because you're not going to find what you're looking for here.
No, that's funny.
But... the thing, too, with the age difference between, like, okay, whatever. I feel like Sam is kind of supposed to be a step in the right direction. He's a nice guy. He cares All right. about her feelings. You know, the age gap is something that I don't think that they would really be able to get past. Because Sam has all the time in the world. Like, he could spend 15 years in a relationship with Rebecca and then still move on and have a whole family with someone else if he were to decide that that's what he wants.
Yeah, that's true.
And then at that point, she's 60. So she's really the one that has everything to lose in having a long-term relationship with Sam. Because if she wants to have kids, which we don't really know if she would want to pursue that. You know, we know that she did in the past, but we don't know if she's just kind of like... let that go, or if that's something that she does want to pursue. But if it does, she's got to do that in like the next 3 years. And he's going to be 24. So that's ridiculous. Like, he's not ready for it. They're just nowhere near in the same place of their lives.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's based on the age alone. And then you're right. Like, yeah. You expand out from there. And
you can say, well, we see a lot of men with women who are 25 years younger. And this is true, but that's because those women can still have families and take on the brunt of the child rearing while the guy is 70 years old and just sits in a chair.
Right.
So it's just...
sits in a chair.
I just feel like, you know, if they were closer in age, Sam is definitely a sweet person. And I do think they have chemistry. Like, at first I didn't see it. And then once they kind of started putting them close enough together, I was like, oh, okay, I see... where they would be attracted to each other here, which is another reason why I think once they start having Hannah Waddingham and Jason Sudeikis stand that close together, we'll start to see it as well, too, because I just feel like it's hard for them to not have chemistry with any of these actors.
Mm.
Okay, so let's go over what we learned. So the main thing we learned about Ted is that his father killed himself.
Yeah, which was a big part of the plot.
Yes.
I guess we didn't really learn this about him, but Ted is a very giving person, like, and cares about people. You know, when he gave her the bike,
yeah,
and everything. I mean, I don't know, just the fact that he went and when I think she learned that, you know, he is a little more caring than she already knew, like.
Yeah,
you know, he went to the hospital
every 20 minutes.
Yeah, and like, yeah. You know, just shows that again, and he cares for everybody else, but doesn't want anybody to take care of him, right. You know?
Yes, and that's where he needs to, that's why he needs the therapy a bit.
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
And then I put what we learned about Rebecca is that she's looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
And now that song will be in my head for the rest of the night.
I mean, I guess so. You know, I guess in a way, that is correct. Like, I mean, she didn't intentionally get with Sam, but she started off by looking for love in all the wrong places by getting on Banter.
Right.
Probably. Like, that was immediately. Not that I'm, you know, shaming or saying anything about dating sites and
right,
whatever,
yeah,
but
no,
like,
mean,
maybe she needed to meet somebody a different way, or I don't know.
Right. Or just, she just needed to ask Sam some different questions.
Right,
on that
right,
app.
Right, right, right.
Like,
yeah.
How old are you?
Right.
Do you play football for the team that I own? But yeah, I mean, and I don't. Sam is a great catch, and he is definitely way mature for being 21.
Right, but long term,
super sweet guy. Like, he is going to be a very good partner for someone. And again, I don't think it's a coincidence that he is the most like Ted out of all the footballers that they could have chosen for her to go on this date with. Then, what did Rebecca learn?
I don't know. I'm not reading that.
Sometimes you just need to fuck the 21-year-old gift that shows up on your door and worry about the rest later.
Yeah. Okay. I guess. Yeah.
Because, I mean, really, she didn't. I think she just, maybe she learned that if she didn't take a chance on this, she was going to regret it. But I don't know. I just think Rebecca's in
and
a.
Sometimes you just got to shoot first and ask questions later.
Exactly.
So
I just think she's kind of in a spiral here.
Yeah, pretty much. I think you're right.
Like, we're supposed to. I think that they're kind of paralleling each other in season two. Like, Ted is a mess, but Ted is a little more visible of a mess. But I think Rebecca is just as much of a mess. She just isn't having, like, major panic attacks on football fields or anything.
So what did Ted learn?
I
personally think that Ted learned that a lot of his problems are stemming from, which he says, from the fact that his father killed himself when he was 16 and left him and his mother.
Yeah.
I think he finally maybe has been in denial about it all this time and really just, you know, realized it. And that's, and seeing that exchange happen with Jamie and his father really put it in perspective.
Yeah.
And it just made me realize how fucked up everybody's father is on this show.
They really are.
Except for Sam's father.
Yes. Nate's dad. We're going to find out Rebecca's dad next episode.
I'm telling you.
Roy's dad. I mean,
we already kind of know Nate's dad, right?
No. Yeah. Rebecca's dad, we find out more about next episode. Nate's dad, right. We already know about. Right. He's a jerk.
Right.
Roy's dad, we just know that they kind of sent him away to play football when he was young and he was really close with his grandfather.
Right.
Jamie, obviously. We don't know anything about Beard and his dad, but...
Yeah, but still, like, for the most part, but...
Yes,
everyone. Yeah, that's what I think Ted learned. That was the biggest part, anyway.
Yeah, definitely. And then for, are they any more aware of each other? No.
No, they're not.
No, Rebecca's not thinking about Ted at all right now.
No. Sorry. Not in the headspace.
No, not this week. Okay, so next episode we're going to cover is called No Weddings and a Funeral. It's another excellent episode. We are not covering the Beard one, which I've already said why. You can reach us at Ted Becca Podcast on Twitter.
Sorry.
He's over here rubbing his face.
I didn't mean on to the do windscreen. That. I like went to look at the clock.
It's tenseness. You feel that?
It's my tenseness. It's tenseness. I'm tense.
And then, what was I saying? Oh, or go to anchor.fm/... Ted Becca Podcast, and there you could leave us a voice message. No one's left us a voice message in a while.
Yeah.
What do you think the underwear joke was? Leave it in a voice
message. Yeah, leave it in a voice message.
Okay. All right. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
All right. Bye.